Gotta ask you guys. Kevin, are you too young to have a Sears memory? Or did you guys go to Sears?
Oh yeah, I remember going to the one at Golf Mill in Niles. There was one there.
Mm-hmm. We were sharing our Sears memories because the Sears people have just decided that they are closing the Woodfield Mall store, its final one in the state of Illinois.
I'm going to be completely honest. I saw that story, heard you guys talk about it, and I was like, wow, there's still a Sears store open? I didn't even realize there was still one left.
Yeah, but we're hanging on to our memories here.
No, I know. I don't mean to be rude towards Sears. I just didn't even know.
Yeah. I sort of am hopeful in my mind that they're just out there and I just don't see them anymore. That's how I like to look at it. But that one's going.
So can you still order online?
That's a good question. Let me try to go to Sears.com.
Yeah, see what happens.
See what you can do. Sears.com.
I mean, remember they used to have Land's End and all that?
Still order online. You got everything. Appliances, refrigerators.
Yeah, that's what I remember as a kid, going to Sears, and I'm like, everything's in here. You could get anything in here.
Yeah.
It's so true. I was reading the story earlier. It's worthy of repeating because I was saying I remember the huge candy store area where they'd have a woman in the middle or a man or a woman in the middle, and then they'd have all the glass jars of all the candy that you could pick from on the top. I just remember how exciting that was. But this is interesting. Within the store, the sale of tombstones, farm tractors, ready-made milking stalls were there. They have a sporting goods department featured a model hunting lodge. Other attractions include a candy shop, what I remember, soda fountain, lunch counters, a shoe repair shop, a pet shop, dentists, chiropodists, I'm not sure what that is, a first aid station with a trained nurse, a children's playground, and a department for demonstrating kitchen utensils.
And so many tools, right? Sears, big tools, craftsmen, all that.
I hate to say it, but that sounds like fun. I'd go to that store today. Wouldn't you?
Did you like going to the store with your parents as a kid? For me, it was like always an adventure. I have two brothers and a sister, so fighting would break out or someone would get lost or you'd be running around the store. And then
I loved it. I remember it was exciting to go. I remember pulling up in the parking lot. I remember exactly what it looked like as a kid because I was excited about the candy store. My parents would do all they had to do, buy the tools and anything else they had to buy. And then we go get candy at the end. So it was super exciting. I just loved it.
I remember they had elevators in ours, so we would always like to go on the elevators, and there was a water fountain next to them. I don't know
where was yours again?
In Oak Brook. Yeah.
You had a Oak fancy
Mall.
Sears.
It was two-story. It was a night, and it was there up until, like, I want to say a couple years ago. It was still there. I bought a pair of boots for, like, $10, and they were really nice boots. They were just having this sale. We were looking at a freezer or something when we were there.
That was the thing. You go in for a freezer, you come out with boots. And
yeah, it was like random shoes in the middle of the room. You know, I said, oh, I got to have those. And I said, they're great. They're really comfy.
I love it. Kathy's got a story, I think. Go ahead, Kathy. You're on WGN.
Hi. Well, I lived on the southwest side of Chicago in Garfield Ridge, and we used to take the Archer bus downtown a couple times a year for every season because you had to get your Easter outfit. You had to get your Christmas outfits and boots and everything, but the school supply trip was especially fun because we would take the Archer bus, get off at Sears, and they had like practically a whole floor, I thought, of school supplies. I mean, because it was very important. We had four girls in the family. Uh-huh. It was very important to have a matching pencil case with your matching notebook and everything and your school bag, and they just had everything. As far as school supplies.
I love that, too. I remember picking up the lunch boxes, you know, those
lunch,
little, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was so much fun. And then at Christmas, too, my two aunts were not married, and they would take us for our various outfits. We would start at Sears. We didn't find it there, we'd go to Goldblatt's. If we didn't find it there, we'd go to Weebelt. If we didn't find it there, we'd go to Stevens. Then on the way to Ben Field, then by that time, it was time for lunch, of course. And then we had to do that. But then my mother and my aunts were so patient, they would go back if we still thought, you know, that we wanted to go back to something we had seen at the beginning. Then, of course, there would be a break for a snack.
You make a whole day of it, right? Just getting some school, some clothes. It's so do you, fond memories, it sounds like, Kathy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, very much so. And the Sears catalog for Christmas. I mean, I can't even go there. I mean, we had our pages earmarked, and it was very important. And more on a more recent side, my son, who's 36 now, I couldn't find those, the guy action figures. I couldn't find them at Toys R Us, the ones that he wanted. Sears had them. But they came in a box, and it was like, it wasn't the usual packaging. It was a cardboard box. I don't know if they were made somewhere else or what, but they were drawn like pen and ink on the outside. So when they were left, I said, boy, Santa really must have been in a hurry. He didn't put them in the regular package. But my son thought that was so authentic.
It's, oh, that's interesting. I just,
it was like Santa drew that himself on the box.
I love it. Kathy, thank you for sharing the stories. Yeah. We all have them. They're just coming back, and I can picture them as vividly as you can, my own. Thank you, Kathy, for sharing. Joe's got one. I think we can get Joe in here. Go ahead, Joe. What's yours?
Fortunately, you're sending me back to therapy right now. Because I have horrid memories of being drugged. I was a sixth corner serving in Cicero, Sears kid. And we did everything there, of course, Santa and everything. But the one thing that I had to go there for was because I was in the Husky department.
Oh, yeah, I remember that Husky department.
I was right there with you, man. Trying to shop for pants with my mom was a nightmare.
Very politically incorrect now. We can never call it the Husky department.
And Joe, let me ask some. Did your mom go, okay, Joe, now we're going to go to the Husky department and say it really loud? And everyone's like, oh, God, don't say that. Don't say that so loud.
Well, it was all the little chubby Italian kids that were standing around in the Husky department. And we're like, yeah, well, you know, hi. We just looked at each other. I don't think we knew actually at the time, but looking back at it, I remember, like, I was a little Husky and, you know, put me in that department. But, yeah, that was the bad memory. But I do remember the circular candy counter, and they used to make fresh hot nuts on the end. Mm. And you can go and see them fresh. They would roast them, like, in front of you and drop nuts in some hot oil of some sort.
Yeah. I can smell it right now. I can taste it. I can picture it. Isn't it funny? I mean, memories from before the age of 10, even. I can remember visiting that candy counter and how amazing it was. Joe, thank you. Would you say you're still Husky, or how would you describe yourself now?
Yeah. So, you know, I wouldn't use the word Husky anymore because, you know, it would be fat shaming myself, right?
True.
I'm robust. How's that?
I like it. Well, you're fine by me, Joe.
Well, at least he's not chubby like the girls' section was.
Oh, was it chubby?
Yes.
For the girls? Get out.
Was the chubby
size?
They
called it that?
I'm looking it up, and that's what I remember that. Even Lane Bryant.
The Huskies and the Chubbies.
Oh, yeah. This is horrible.
Or Chubettes. I think Lane Bryant had some Chubettes stuff. Or Chubbies, Chubettes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, come on. That's worse than Husky, for sure.
Joe, thank you for those memories. I'm sure a lot of people will relate to that. Thank you for sharing.
No problem.
How about that? The Chubettes and the Huskies. Oh, my word.
I was in the Husky section as a kid, and those are for size. You know, the sizes, the waist, and the length was just kind of all off when you were a kid. You know, the pant length is fairly similar to the waistline. Like, everything, it was tough, you know? Uh-huh. And then your mom would be asking for the manager, and manager of the Husky section, manager of the Husky section. Like, oh, my God.
Husky kid needs help.
How do the Husky pants fit, Kevin? Kevin, come on out. We got to see you in that. Oh, gosh.
And then you walk out, your mom would, like, tug at it and see where it fits and stuff. It's like a whole display. Yeah, those are some of my memories as well.
Oh, I'm losing it. Oh, gosh. Absolutely loved hearing all the Sears stories yesterday. I heard John Williams was just remembering some of them. The memories you shared with us. We have so, I mean, it's such a part of all of us who grew up in this area or from this area or from anywhere in Illinois for that matter. All the Sears stores and the catalog that reached across the United States, of course. Sears closing its final store, the final bricks and mortar location in Schaumburg at Woodfield Mall, no longer. Mid-November, I think, is when the actual the closing date is. But we were talking yesterday about the store experience, about what you remember, the catalog, and conjuring up so many wonderful, wonderful memories. Some not so wonderful memories, as I heard you mentioning there, Mary, about Kevin and the caller who we had who mentioned the Husky jeans department.
Yeah.
Oh, I had forgotten about that. And just think about how embarrassing that had to be a kid who had to go to the Husky department. As I recall, that was sort of in like the back area, kind of hidden or in the one I went to. I used to go to the one on West Lawrence. And I seem to remember, you know, there was that whole kind of thing.
Same with the chubby girls section. And they had
I still can't believe that.
That was like around in the 70s, I'm pretty sure. I think they ended it. in the 70s. So, yeah, I mean, I remember that when I was a kid. I don't know why, but, you know, and now they have skinny jeans. Now, is that good or is that bad?
I don't know. I know that chubby is bad. I would say I would not want, you know, to go with your kid and have to shop in the chubby section.
No. But it's right? Sometimes, you know, if you call a person skinny, sometimes it can be a little mean, you know, if you say it in a certain way.
Right. I think that's true.
That can be mean, too, now that you think about it. So why do they have skinny jeans?
It's so hard to keep up. But what we do know, what we do know is that the husky and the chubby is no longer.
No.
And a listener actually sent us something that was the Chubette section.
Yes.
Too.
There was also a Lane Bryant, I think, had some sort of section with, they had ads, you know, in magazines that said chubbies or Chubettes or something like that. So
I was talking with Kevin yesterday and I was thinking about how horrifying it must have been to have your mom stand outside the dressing room, you know, in the husky department and say, come on out, Kevin. Let's see the jeans. How are the husky jeans? Don't worry. No one can see. It's fine. Come on.
Now, don't you think the word husky is kind of cute, actually? It doesn't sound like, it sounds like you're just a strong little guy, you know? You're just a little husky. It doesn't sound that mean. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I think it's better than chubby. But when we heard from the caller yesterday said he just hated that term and it like sort of haunted him. And then Kevin remembers it with like disdain and those horrifying memories of childhood of having to go there to buy your clothes. It's just, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. But it is like lamenting everything that Sears was for us because it's the final store. It's going to be closed. And the range of things Sears sold was just incredible. This is another thing we were talking about yesterday, that everything from tombstones to tractors to hubcaps, you know, they had the candy shop we talked about, the soda fountain, the lunch counters, shoe repair. There was everything there, everything there. And a listener sent me this link reminding us that Sears sold home kits. There's an entire Facebook page devoted to the Sears homes of Chicagoland.
Oh, well, there, you know, I live in Villa Park in a western suburb, and there are a ton of Sears homes in Villa Park. And there's one right down my street, as a matter of fact. It's really cute. Cute little house.
Isn't it amazing to think that they would send you a kit in the mail or arrive by train or something, and you just, okay, go and assemble it. There's your house.
What a nightmare that would be.
I have a hard time helping my kid with Legos. I mean, I just can't imagine.
IKEA directions, you know? It's like, oh, my gosh.
Right, I pay the $99 and get the guy who helps me with that. I don't know, but people were doing this. It's really incredible. Think of all the young Lou Manfredinis out there who are assembling their own home. They sent you all the stuff.
They were very well-made homes, too, let me tell you. The ones that I know of in my neighborhood are still standing, and they're from, like, the 20s, the 30s, you know, and they're, I think they go back that old, maybe not. I'm not sure.
No, I think you're right. I'm looking here. Let's see. From 1908 to 1940.
Yeah, okay. The one down my street is definitely in the 20s. So
Sears sold between 70 and 75,000 homes. They came in 500 nearly different designs, from the Grand Magnolia, which was $5,000. To the popular Winona, which ranged between $750 to $2,000. And all the parts usually arrive by train, pre-cut, ready to assemble, and you put it together yourself.
It's like a prefab home of today.
Yeah, but now they arrive on those trailers you see on the expressway, right? They come right to you.
Yeah, wide loads and two parts.
Right.
Two halves.
But you're right. I'm looking at the pictures on this Facebook page, Mary, and the homes, they look so well built. They're just so cool. There's such a variety of them. You'd never know, like, oh, that's the Sears home. There's so many of them.
Yeah, there are a ton of different styles. Ton of them.
So wild.
They just didn't have bungalows. Don't think they had brick bungalows anywhere.
No, that would have been hard to assemble.
They were all
assemble.
Wood. Yeah.
Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, you're on WGN. Let's hear from you.
Hi there. It's fun to hear you talking about this. I know we have some of those homes in our town. And as I was listening to you, I was thinking, you know, I wonder if this might actually be something that could be successful once again, because people are so DIY and tiny house and save money, do it yourself, live more frugally. I wonder if Sears could bring those back.
Wouldn't that be a good idea? I was thinking the same thing. I thought, wow, back then you got the home delivered and you put it together. Maybe you had a contractor or somebody in the neighborhood who was really good at it and helped get them to pay you to do that. But you're right. You talk about the housing and the affordable housing issues that we have.
You just have to put it on YouTube for sure. Because that's how, you know, kids follow directions on YouTube. They just look it up. And, you know, my son just built a dresser and he looked it up on YouTube. He's like, hey.
Or we need to get Joanna.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was saying maybe we could get Joanna Gaines to, like, do a show on it. And then everyone would be like, oh, we got to make our own home. We got to build our own home. You know, she does all those things.
Heck with her. We'll do it, Anna.
Like IKEA, you can order the service, the TaskRabbit or whatever, to come and do it. Well, maybe Sears could offer that service. They could get some contractors. Okay, pay another $50,000 if you want someone else to do it for you or whatever. You know?
Kathy, I love it. I love it. I think we have a business idea here. If Sears isn't going to do it.
Well, it's a fun topic.
Thank you, Kathy. You. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Let's hear from Maggie. Maggie, go ahead. You're on WGN. You got a Sears story or a home story?
Both. My son and daughter-in-law currently own a Sears home.
Ah! What does it look like?
Oh, it's beautiful. Two bedrooms, a front room, a kitchen, a full basement. No, it's very, very nice. And the only thing is if you want to keep the status as a historical, you have to do it within the parameters of what, say, the village would say you can do or not do. But it's a beautiful home, and it's livable, and it's very, very nice.
How's it holding up? Because I think the amazing part to me is when I look at this tour of homes on Facebook that are Sears homes, they look amazingly substantial, well-built. I mean, they just, right?
Yeah, and you know, yes, they've done a little, they've tweaked it here and there, but nothing like majorly structural. And it's just a very, and a nice porch, a very nice front porch. So, yeah, it's just good. You know, and I do agree, it might be a new way to have people afford homes because they're very happy there.
Kathy's on to something. You're right, Maggie. Thanks for sharing your story. Uh-huh. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
It's very cool. I'm looking here. I grew up in Portage Park. It was about 73. I was 11 years old. My mom sent me up to the Sears store with her Sears credit card. She told me, hand the note to the sales lady, and it says, buy my daughter one pair of size 12 tough skin jeans. Remember the tough skin jeans?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It was like, it's hard to get them on because they were so stiff.
Right. Even after you washed them 10 times, right? Still stiff.
Horrible.
It's so cool to look at the history here, too. And we will get into this a little bit with Ali Mamrati, the whole business side of it. But Richard Sears began selling watches in Minneapolis, then moved the business to Chicago at Dearborn and Randolph. And so that began Sears. Here's a question for you. In what year was the first catalog released? What year was the first Sears catalog released? The Wish Book, as it became to know, be known. 1888, the first catalog came out, and it was watches only. How about that? And then in 1933, the actual Christmas catalog came out. The one that we'd all know as the big one that came to be and kept growing and growing, that featured just about everything you'd ever want right there in the Wish Book. Topped 600 pages by 1934, they say. All the must-have items for your house, and you could get anything there. It's really amazing to think about what you could get there. And the catalog memories too. It's wild. I heard too, there's a tour of homes, the Sears homes. They do tours in some areas. I want to say Crete, someone told me about it. And so it's, you know, it's interesting. Anna Mary V, I believe the Sears homes were stainless steel. I've seen the homes in Villa Park, Lombard. Nancy from Woodridge says that. So there you go. You said you see them near you, Mary. So it's a thing. You know, I wonder here too, if you were talking about the business angle of things, I wonder, because of how Sears was such a brand that meant so much to so many of us and that it offered absolutely everything, couldn't Sears, if they had just kind of grasped the online thing faster, couldn't they be Amazon today? I mean, wouldn't that be possible?
Yeah, they just stayed too old-fashioned, I think.
Because they, you know? I mean, look, right?
They're kind of like the Walmarts of today. Walmart has everything. Well, Sears didn't have groceries, of course, but Walmart doesn't have appliances. But other than that, they have everything.
They do. Well, Sears launched, I didn't know this either, but Sears launched a bunch of iconic brands on its own, too. The Kenmore appliances came from there. Craftsman came from there. Allstate Insurance originally sold through Sears. their mail order catalog, and then they split off and became an independent company. Discover Card started there too. It's pretty incredible the imprint that it's left on the country, but that's why it's so sad too that it's going away, at least the bricks and mortar. We did check yesterday. You can still go online and order Sears stuff, but it's not the same as going into the store. Keep your experiences coming. 312-981-7200. I was proud to shop in the Husky section, 847 says, at Sears. I was big, not obese. That's just the way it was. 574, I was born in 61. Remember shopping in the late 60s and 70s at the Lemon Frog shop inside Sears. I think that was the girls' version of the Husky department. 773, Anna, some malls have turned big boxes into data centers. I'm going to ask Ali Marotti about that in a second here at Crane. She wrote a great story about Sears and the whole business side of things. 815, my first memory of Sears was my dad taking me to pick up my mom's huge, and I mean huge, microwave in the 70s. 815, the Sears location is going to be a Target store. Don't tell Maria Pappas. A little inside joke there about Maria Pappas not liking the whole idea of a Target, but that's Michigan Avenue. She might not be opposed to it over in Woodfield Mall. Let's talk with Ali Marotti. She covers business and retail at Crane Chicago Business. Hey, Ali, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Can we cut to the chase here? Do we know, or is there any sort of rumor on the street, as they say, about what might happen to that location at Woodfield Mall? It's such a big part of that mall.
It really is. And no, we don't know yet. So the company that owns Sears now, Transform Co., has said that they're in active negotiations with retailers and that they'll announce development plans as they're finalized. I also talked to the Village of Schaumburg, and they were telling me that, you know, it kind of depends. Like, it could be an entertainment something or other. You know, they could break it up into smaller, you know, smaller spaces for retailers, because nowadays retailers are not taking as much space as they used to. So it's just a similar conversation to, like you said, what's going on Michigan Avenue, right? Like, what's going to fill these big box spaces?
And what goes there? So the official comment from Sears, it reads like such corporate speak. I don't know what to make of it. You have it in your article. This is part of the company's strategy to unlock the value of the real estate and pursue the highest and best use for the benefit of the local community. I'm sure they're concerned about their own interests, too. And so many of these things become Amazon warehouses. And we've even seen Amazon getting into the department store business, which is really fascinating to me. I think they're putting one in Ohio and California. There's a lot going on in the retail space.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And when I read that Amazon getting into department stores headline, it was definitely a everything that's old is new again moment.
Right.
You know? But it is interesting. And we saw some of these big box retailers, even during the pandemic, being used as, you know, vaccine centers and things like that. So it's fascinating to see how creative some of the landlords get here. And with this one in particular at Woodfield Mall, it's interesting because Sears owns the real estate, you know, which isn't true of every mall across America. So they've got the real estate, they've got the parking lot, and also there's an auto center there. So it is quite a bit of space. I think some of it may already be rented out for parking for another attraction or store that's there at Woodfield Mall. So, I think it'll be interesting. You know, brick and mortar these days, it's got to be more, it's got to do more than the internet can give consumers. You know, you got to give people a reason to get in there and use it to build your brand and to drive traffic online and kind of, you know, fulfill your whole ecosystem as a company. So I think it'll be really interesting to see what ends up filling that space.
It will, Ali. And the other thing that comes to mind is the decline of Sears and how maybe they didn't pivot when they should have to go online, and they stayed bricks and mortar, and Amazon and others and the other online retailers forged ahead. I just wonder, in the business community, as they point to the decline of Sears, which was once this behemoth, you know, they built the Sears Tower, or they at least inhabited it and called it the Sears Tower. And, you know, what they meant to so many people across the country, they were everything. You got everything there, and how it kind of declined over the years. Like, what do you look at there and say, they could have done this.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny, and you're right. Everybody's kind of got their Sears memory from throughout the years. But they filed for bankruptcy in 2018, and there had been years of financial struggles leading up to that moment. You know, a lot of people saw it coming. Sears Roebuck was sort of the company's predecessor, and you're right. It towered over the American retail world. They really perfected the mail order catalog, and they started building stores in the 1920s. Expanded to the suburbs after World War II and really reigned supreme for decades. At Woodfield, it's interesting because the mall itself is actually named after Sears chairman Robert Wood and then, you know, fellow department store magnate Marshall Field. It opened in 1971, and Sears has been there ever since. So it's going to leave kind of a symbolic hole there as well as a literal hole.
So,
it's fascinating. I actually didn't know that before I started doing the story. But
didn't either.
Looking at kind of the downfall and the decline, you know, it can be attributed, like you said, to consumer behavior changing. Shoppers shifted first to the big box retailers and then to online shopping. And 1991, just before Sears moved out of its downtown tower, Walmart had displaced it as the country's largest retailer. And you can see nowadays, Amazon obviously battling Walmart all the time for that top spot. So it's a lot of things. I don't know that you can point to just one thing. The other interesting thing, you know, I was out at Woodfield a few years ago covering Black Friday back when I worked at the Chicago Tribune, and I started out the day in Sears, you know, because that's kind of the go-to spot for those, or it used to be, right, for those doorbuster deals and all those Black Friday, you know, finds that you can get. And a lot of the people in there, they were there out of symbolism. You know, this was a tradition they had with their family. They did coupon cutting on Thanksgiving and then got up early and went the next day. But many people, you know, and again, this is a few years ago, right, before the pandemic pushed even more people online. They all did most of their shopping online at that point.
It's such an iconic brand, and it speaks so much truth when you hear from all of us. You know, we opened the phone lines yesterday and people were sharing their Sears story, and there's this emotional connection to it. I just wonder if that brand stays alive online. I don't know how Sears.com is doing. I can't say that I visit it much, but I wonder, you know, is there, you know, any future to that brand since it does have this deep connection to the country and right. Sort of this nostalgia too?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I know that the parent company, they're looking to do kind of smaller store formats, and I'm not exactly sure if they would carry the Sears name or not. There's also brands that Sears developed that, you know, carry a lot of cachet that are still out there. And, you know, you can look throughout the course of the past few years when Sears was kind of trying to set their financial struggles straight, trying to sell off some of those brands and see what money they could bring in for them. So I think you're right. It will be interesting to see kind of what happens and what endures from that.
Yeah, it is. It is sort of the end of an era, I think we can say very clearly, that the end of an era for the bricks and mortar. And what's to come, I don't know. I don't know. You cover retail, and that does seem to be such an unusual environment right now, just quite trying to see how we re-envision Michigan Avenue, what belongs there in a world where people are shopping online. Do you do more experiential? What do you hear, Allie, about where that may be going?
Yeah, this is interesting. I did a big story about this back when Macy's announced that they were leaving a few months ago, and they announced they were leaving Michigan Avenue. And I talked to a bunch of real estate developers that were dreaming big. You know, they were saying, I could see some sort of like a Topgolf or some sort of experiential situation going into that, because these big store footprints are not what retailers want anymore, you know? So it's either you're going to break them up or you're going to find something that will get people in there and spend time and spend money, you know, maybe some sort of restaurant, something along those lines. But like I said earlier, it's really an interesting play. And we saw this during the pandemic in the different retail corridors throughout Chicago, where the ones that thrived were the retailers that were kind of using their online presence to fuel their brick and mortar presence for the most part. And nowadays, when you're a retailer and you're thinking about where am I going to open my brick and mortar store, you're looking at the zip codes where your shipments are going to. When people are ordering offline, where are they getting your product shipped to? Let's go there because we know we have built-in customers. So it'll be interesting, I think, to see now that everybody is working from home, how much does that shift to neighborhoods? How much does that shift out to suburban areas? I think a lot of it remains to be seen because we're still seeing where everything settles, but it will be interesting whatever happens.
Bill's got a point about the business. Let's bring Bill in here. Go ahead, Bill. You're on WGN.
Hi. Well, I've been in retail full time for almost 50 years, and what you're looking at is the result of corporate mismanagement. The emphasis that I would place is on declining customer service. It's really interesting. The accountants take a look at the business. They see that the only thing they can really control is the manpower issue. So what they do is they start reducing the amount of people they have working for them, which in turn affects the level of customer service. as the customer service declines, sales decline. Their solution is, well, we'll cut staff even further. So Sears went from a place of where you had salespeople in virtually every department ready, willing, and able to wait on you to totally self-serve. And now you wonder why they went out of business. I work in a place where emphasis is on customer service. We have a large number of salespeople on the sales floor every day, ready and willing and able to help customers. And the business just keeps growing and growing. And again, it's the difference between a family-owned and operated business with something like 1,500-plus employees.
Right.
Which keeps
and a
growing.
Mega company.
When I started, when I started working there 26-plus years ago, there were less than, there were somewhere around 300 to 350 employees.
Mm-hmm.
We had maybe 40 trucks.
Bill, let me ask you something. Do you want to give a shout-out to your business? What's the business?
Apt Electronics and Appliances.
Ah, how about that? Yeah, well, you're right. They do they do service well. Absolutely true. Yeah. Even their delivery people and the setup people from front from start to finish. You're absolutely right. Bill, I got to run here, but thank you for calling in, because Allie's got to go too. But Allie, I just, you know, he speaks the truth about self-service, and we do hear about that. I think there were so many headwinds with this particular company, Sears, getting beat online so badly that there just was no coming back, it feels like.
Right.
It's a great article. Thank you for sharing your wisdom on the business side for us, Allie. You cover retail for Crane Chicago Business. Enjoy your weekend, okay? Thank you for the time.
Thank you. You too.